First up, though, Britain has become the first country in the world to license a COVID-19 vaccination after approving the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. The UK has ordered over 40 million doses, enough to vaccinate 20 million people, and an initial shipment of 800,000 doses is on its way. Elderly people and staff in care homes are at the top of the priority list, followed by the over 80s and health workers. Earlier today, the COVID-19 response minister, Chris Hipkins, told Morning Report that New Zealand is under less pressure to rush through approval for a vaccine compared to other countries. With us to discuss is Professor of Biochemistry at the University of Otago, Kurt Krause. Professor Krause, welcome to the show.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No, it's nice to have you on again. Look, vaccination to begin as early as next week. This must break record in vaccine rollout.
It's quite remarkable. It is quite remarkable. I know that it's a bold move. Some people have criticized it. The European Union, I know, was critical of it, but it's a bold move to be sure.
Yeah. So, look, in terms of the way it would work, I'm just reading what Boris Johnson has said, that they've, in this particular instance, they've used the virus itself to perform a kind of, in his words, a biological jiu-jitsu to turn the virus on itself in the form of vaccine. Can you explain to us how this might work?
My guess is that he's talking about that it's an RNA virus, right? So, it's an RNA vaccine. And so as an RNA vaccine, that's quite unique. So most vaccines are usually inactivated viruses or isolated protein molecules. And these protein molecules are the suit of armor that the virus wears when it does its battle. And it's also the thing that gets attacked by our antibodies. And so we break those proteins down and inject them into people, and then we develop antibodies, which then would attack the virus and prevent it from infecting. So that's not what happens in these vaccines. Instead, what happens is a stretch of RNA is injected. So RNA is essentially a code that tells the ribosome, which is the big protein-making factory in all of our cells, and it tells the ribosome, make this protein, please, and here's the plan. So they're administering a stretch of RNA that tells the cells, make this protein, and it turns out it's a coronavirus protein. So our cells take the RNA, we make the viral protein, but then the same thing happens. We develop antibodies against that protein,
right,
and those antibodies are what protect us.
Right. So what do we know? A couple of shots, I think it's about 21 days apart, is that right? And also one of the unique things about this particular vaccine is that it must be stored at extremely low temperatures, 70 degrees below. Couple of questions coming through, though. Can people expect to be immune for how long from COVID-19? Is this for life or what, I wonder?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a time will tell kind of thing, right? Because you've seen a whole lot of prognostications and modeling. Is it going to be a permanent thing, or is the virus going to shift so much that it'll only last a few months, or will it last a few years? And I think we can model as much as we want, but we'll just have to take it as it comes and then find out. Let's hope that it gets us through this pandemic and out of this pandemic, and then we'll be preparing for the next one.
What did you say? Preparing for the next one. Keep going. Kurt, are you there? No, we'll get him back. What do you make of this, Chris? This is vaccination to begin as early as next week. So the era of the vaccine, let's hope.
Well, let's hope. And just picking up on his point of there's been criticism that it's been rolled out so quickly. One of the things I think is a counter to that, that I've done some reading that suggests that one of the things which is different about this, which makes the haste of these vaccine creations not quite as alarming as it might seem, is just the huge amount of resource which has been, put into it, the amount of money, the amount of scientific resource to develop it. And they're easier to make these days too with gene editing. It's not as tricky to make a vaccine as it used to be. Getting it right and making it not harmful in other ways is still pretty tricky. But
Kurt's back. Can you respond to that, Kurt?
Yeah, my apologies, but all of a sudden I was on my own, and I'm not sure exactly when I dropped out.
No, Chris is just suggesting that it's not as difficult to make a vaccine these days because of particular modern technologies. I'm not sure if you have a response on that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that. I think that the tools for making vaccines are much more widely available, and they're straightforward. And that's why right now the New York Times vaccine tracker has 41 vaccines that are in the process of being developed. And there's vaccines being developed in New Zealand, so it's quite a cool time to be doing it. And then you're exactly right. The key thing is, what are the side effects and how long do they last? Unfortunately, there's common side effects, right? And the common side effects for these RNA vaccines look quite good. There's no serious side effects that have been reported for the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, but there is a sort of pain at the site of injection and flu-like symptoms. So both of those are reasonably common following vaccination. Now, down the road, keep your eyes open for rare but more serious side effects, because that can happen. For example, following the swine flu outbreak in the 60s, there was a Guillain-Barré side effect that happened quite rarely, fortunately. And hopefully we won't find any rare serious side effects here, but it'll be important to note that.
Zaina, do you have a comment, question?
Yeah, comment really. I think this is definitely a step in the right direction, right? It offers a sense of comfort for people in what's been a really tough year.
Yeah.
But I think there's also concern around complacency, because you think, okay, we've got a cure now, so you stop thinking about all the preventative measures like good hygiene and social distancing. And as we've heard, you know, there's still an issue around supply, just having enough quantities of this thing, and distribution, the fact that it has it needs to be stored in, you know, really, really cold temperatures, so all of those things. And also the speed of, you know, the speed of testing, which we've heard about, so not clear how long that protection lasts. So I think in terms of the communication, there's a need to balance being hopeful with being vigilant.
Kurt, isn't that a very, very good point? That's something less picked up on, the notion of COVID complacency now that we have a vaccine, supposedly.
Exactly right. You have a very wise panel. We're not out of the woods yet. There's a lot of stuff that has to come. When will New Zealand get its first doses? People are expecting the initial tranche of vaccine to come early to mid next year. The Janssen or Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be coming towards the end of next year. So we have a long way to go. And knowing how quickly these outbreaks can get out of control, we don't want to have a huge outbreak. So we have to stay vigilant. You're exactly right.
Right. And just on a final note, I mean, looking at some of the statistics coming out, for example, of the US, Kurt, I mean, there is no room to be complacent. It must surprise even experts like you to see the shocking spike in cases.
The discussions in the U.S. just befuddle me. The people who deny that the vaccine that the virus is real, that people who say the pandemic is made up, I just shake my head. Wallace, if you can give me some insight into how that works, the polarization where scientists are getting, you know, Tony Fauci is getting death threats, and it's sad and puzzling, and I'd like to find a solution to that.
Yeah, Professor of Biochemistry, Kurt Kraus, thank you again for your time. Just on that final note, Chris, that real polarisation of the issue in the US is very marked, isn't it?
Well, it's not just in the US. We're seeing bits of it here as well, but over there it is. I mean, it's just, mind you, it follows, you know, the polarisation that there is in politics, it would seem to me, from afar. And, you know, it's just like night follows day.